It's time for Laker Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Talk on ESPN 1400 is brought to you by H&R Block, RP Sports Shop, and Art Van Furniture. And now with Laker Talk, here's Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. Our usual Wednesday morning chat for you. And Damon, a big assignment this weekend. It's two in a row now. Minnesota State a couple of weeks ago. A weekend off in between, and now we go to Winter Carnival, Michigan Tech this weekend. This will be a tough one.
Well, it's a huge challenge, you know, and Tech's coming off going 2-0-2 against Bowling Green and Minnesota State, so they're playing their best hockey of the year, and you've got Winter Carnival backing it up, so it'll be a full house and people hanging from the rafters there and really into it. So it's a huge challenge, and we'll be excited. It's a great environment to go into. Just going into that arena for Carnival, there's just such a buzz. You know, it's an 8 o'clock start Friday night. It's a TV game, so there's a lot of things to be really excited about. And obviously, you know, our job is to go in there and get those critical road points. So we've got to find a way to be ready. We've got to get back to that great defensive effort and structure that gives us a chance to be successful. So it's a real big challenge, and our guys are really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Michigan Tech Lakers hooked up earlier this season in the Sioux. You played really well, I thought, for about five periods that weekend. We had a tough first period. The second game got beat that night fairly handily, but a tie game the first game. I think we can play with them, but we've got to be on top of our game.
Well, we've got it. We've got to be, you know, at our best. There's no question about it. Our margin of error is almost non-existent with our inability to produce as much offense as we'd like to do. And so, you know, if we have some mistakes or we give them the easy offense like we did on that Saturday night game, then it's going to be a long night. For us, it's got to be a low-scoring affair right now. That's just the nature of our team this season. And as you mentioned, that Saturday night game, they had some wristers from the blue line that got in, and then we saw that against Mankato as well. So we've put a lot of an emphasis on shot blocking once again to make sure we're getting in shooting lanes and not allowing those pucks to get through. And, you know, our goalie's got to do a good job tracking those pucks and finding a way to make saves. So, we've got to be on it. The guys who get the opportunity to play on Friday night have to be ready to play and match them shift after shift.
You know, Michigan Tech, they're kind of the mirror of the Lakers right now. Lakers are a pretty good defensive team, but Michigan Tech's a very good offensive team. They're clicking at 24% on their power play, so you can't afford to be in the box against them. And they're very good offensively, better than three goals a game. You know a lot of their players. You were an assistant coach there for a number of years, and you're very familiar with their lineup.
Yeah, and I think part of where that comes from is their experience. You know, Alex Batan's got over 100 career points. I believe he's on the Hobie list for a little while last year. Very dynamic, and I'm not sure if he's still leading our league. I know last week he was leading our league in scoring, so he's among the league leaders, if not the league leaders, and he's really what makes that team go. He's so dangerous every single shift, and, you know, when you get on the road, you don't always get the matchup you want in terms of your D pairings and the line. So, you know, we've really got to be aware of Alex for sure, and, you know, he plays with a senior in Malcolm Gould, who's having a great year, and Dylan Stamen is a sophomore for them that's healthy after missing the start of the year. Dylan's really been a shot the arm for their team, and makes that top line very dangerous. But you go beyond that, and Joel Esperance has 11-12 goals. He's having a good year. Tyler Hayden has missed some time now, and he's another goal scorer, 9-10 goals. So they've got guys that can put the puck in the net. They're very dangerous. And Coach Holloway, we were talking this morning, and he's working on the film for them, and just talked again about their decoy. You know, he's looking down, and a guy like Chris Leibinger, who doesn't have a lot of points, but his skating ability is so good that he really threatens you and puts pressure on you. He can break pucks out, he can jump up into play, and they've got a decor that has a ton of mobility to it, and it's a big challenge.
Yeah, it'll be a tough one, and it was here, but as you say, we just had that one period where we didn't block shots very well. Gordy didn't see those shots. A couple goals went by him, he's still looking for, and that's the kind of thing we can't have. We're going to have to play very, very sound defensively. What have you been doing? You've had a weekend off in here, you've had plenty of practice time since you played Minnesota State. What's been the focus for the Lakers getting ready for Michigan Tech?
Well, both sides of the puck, with those offensive woes, we tried to really, gear up, getting our guys, bearing down around the net, collecting rebounds, doing a better job of what we call playing in the paint, our habits. And we showed some film coming out of Mankato where some of our best scoring chances. We had one guy is kind of like looping behind the net and not in a dangerous area. So, you know, and it's something we try to reinforce every single day. But, you know, our guys, I'm sure, are sick of hearing stopping the paint or playing the paint. But you got to go to the dirty areas if you want to have success and you want to create offense. So there's been a focus on that, along with, again, collecting rebounds. You know, we get the rebound boards out, and then guys got to have quick reactions to anticipate where a puck's going and then move your feet around it and then collect it and elevate it, get it up high in the net, down low. Most goaltenders will be down in that situation, so you want to get it up. So we've hit that pretty hard, along with for the D, it's getting pucks to the net from the offensive blue line, you know, mobility along the blue line and finding the shot lane. And then obviously, certainly in the D side of the puck, we continue to hammer that well into our D zone structure. We made an adjustment or two about how we do our D zone because of those couple of weekends where pucks have gone in from the offensive blue line. So we've made a couple of tweaks to what we're trying to do to hopefully cut down on those opportunities that way.
You know, you've had a lot of opportunity, Damon, and we haven't really talked before, I don't think, at least not on this show, about this, but your evolution as a coach, it includes stints at Wayne State, Alaska Anchorage, Michigan State, where you played college hockey. Talk a little bit about the influences of the coaches that you've worked with and how it's helped form your opinions of how you coach.
Well, yeah, and I think my time at TAC with Mal was kind of the culmination and really, you know, challenged some of the beliefs I had and the way things, the way I thought I would do some things. But, you know, I think the biggest laboratory is playing for Ron Mason, you know, spending that. And then we had just extreme success down there. And I think, you know, with Coach Mason there, we were extremely structured and you know, very, very defensive. We obviously had some high-end players like Mike York, Sean Horkoff, to name a few that you know, could single-handedly put up offense. But we were a structured defensive team and you know, learned about the details and how you had to play and run things. And then, you know, going again with Mel, like it was almost the opposite. He brought that Michigan mentality in. The way he built a team and the way they built the team at Ann Arbor was much different in terms of your third, fourth line, you know, skating ability, puck possession, which is, you know, the way a lot of teams want to play now. So, you know, it was evolution, I like that word for it, and it grew and kind of how we were trying to do things. You know, we want speed through our lineup. We want skill through our lineup. You know, we're trying to get to those levels. And, you know, again, like at Michigan Tech, when we went into that program, that old team was built so differently. They were a bigger team that was more defensive oriented and didn't try to play with pace and maybe puck possession. And I think it reflects a lot of what it was here too. The team before we got here was built differently. They played a much different style of play and structure of play. And, you know, it takes some time for our guys to learn it and to get the pieces in place for how we want to go. So, you know, we're encouraged about where we're at in that process and where we're going. And not a very patient person, as most people in sports are not. So you want it to happen overnight, and we want it to happen overnight. But, you know, there's a process in place that, you know, we think we're moving through at a decent clip. And, you know, for me, there's a lot of parallels to what we went through at Michigan Tech and where we're headed. And I obviously, if we can have the success that they've had, you know, we'll be very happy.
You know, that's very interesting stuff to talk about, because I think that's right exactly where the Lakers are right now. They're a team in transition. We're trying to go from a style that was much different, a much more defensive style, a much more hard-checking, bigger guys in the lineup. You've kind of turned that a little bit now. We've got a lot more talent, high-end talent and skill in the lineup. Now you're trying to skate. You're talking puck touches and things like that. We never heard that sort of thing talked about 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm not knocking anybody here. I think you have to play a style that you think is going to work for you. But we're in transition right now, and this is where the impatience comes from.
Yeah, we are, you know, and like you said, not knocking anybody, and I think our guys have done a good job. You know, part of what it is, and I feel, you know, sometimes I feel a little leery of the words we use or what we talk about. You hear about the freshmen scoring, you know, part of it, we just don't have many upperclassmen. You know, we don't have many guys who have been around a long time, and some of those guys fit our system very well, and some of them, you know, it's a challenge for what we're trying to do, and you know, maybe we wouldn't have recruited them because of the way we're playing, but they've done a good job, and they continue to do a good job, and they're a huge part of our team. And you know, whether they're great fits or not, this is our team and this is what we're trying to do. And I talked a lot last year too, where I think we could have And maybe we would have been better coaches had we played a lot different, and you know, maybe built played the way our team was built. But at the same time, I think it would have delayed our process of where we're trying to get to. And again, Michigan Tech were the same way. We talked all the time about, you know, playing to what we were built as versus getting to where we want to be at and asking guys to get outside of their comfort zone and demanding to play a certain way. So I think had we not done it last year, it would have delayed this year and where we're trying to go. You know, but that's what we want to do, and that's where we're going to get at. We'll keep pushing there, and then, you know, we'll hit it through the recruiting process. We'll hit it through our habits with what we have right now. And again, it's not, as you said, a knock on our current guys. You know, part of it's just a numbers game. We don't have many guys that are upperclassmen. That's the makeup of our team. And I think in college sports, typically you're led by your upperclassmen. There's certainly those special talents like Kyle Connor at Michigan or Dylan Larkin last year that can come in. But again, a lot of those guys are surrounded by upperclassmen that, you know, they're not the go-to guys. And you know, we don't have that again because of our numbers.
Okay, we're going to take a break here on our Laker Hockey Talk program this morning. We've got sponsors who need to be heard from. We'll be back with the second half of our show this morning on ESPN 1400.
If you're shopping major appliances, look into the fabulous lineup at Erickson Appliances, now in the Art Van Furniture Store on the I-75 Business Spur. Fridges, freezers, ranges, microwave ovens, washers, dryers, and dishwashers. Brand names like Bosch, LG, Frigidaire, Speed Queen, GE, Samsung, and Fisher-Paykel. If Erickson's doesn't have the model you want, they'll get it. They feature free local delivery on all major appliances. Art Van is a great selection of the best furniture in the business, and Erickson's appliance at the local Art Van outlet has the best selection of name brand appliances. See for yourself today. At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required.
If hockey's your game, Leet Sports Center on the Business Spur and RP's Pro Shop and the Norris Center at LSSU are your best bets for the top gear available. New equipment is arriving daily at both sites. You won't believe all the quality gear by Under Armour, Bauer, CCM, Reebok, and Warrior. Skates, sticks, pads, helmets, gloves, and socks. Whatever you need to play the game, it's available at Leet's and RP's. And skate sharpening's available at both sites too. Leet's and RP's carry figure skates by Rydell, and both feature hats, mittens, gloves, caps, boots, and gear to equip young and old alike. See the best selection in the UP. If it's hockey or skating, it's at Leet Sports Center and RP's Pro Shop.
Now let's get back to Bill Crawford and Coach Witten for more Laker Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Wednesday morning on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. And we were talking about evolution here. We're talking about you as a coach and all the people you've worked with where you've learned various things. You got a pretty good staff here at Lake Superior State. I think Doug Holliva and Rich Mitro do a great job recruiting, which is their main task. But they're also very important cogs when it comes to coaching every day. I think you share those duties very, very well in practices, and they're a very important part of benches during a game.
Well, they're huge. You know, they have a huge impact on our game and a lot of rope to do a lot of things. And, you know, again, that's part of the evolution. You know, I've been at different places where, you know, I was utilized very heavily and in some places where I wasn't utilized very much. And I think most people probably understand when you're not relied upon, you know, it's difficult. There's frustration, and you're probably not as dialed in as you'd like to be. But when you give a person an opportunity, you know, it gives them a chance to evolve themselves and grow and be more checked in. The more responsibility they have, you know, or at least that's why I felt about it. When my boss asked me to do more things, you know, I was able to be more checked in and more passionate and driven and to do those things. So that's definitely the way we run it. We have input, you know, across the board, lineup decisions, style of play, recruiting. I mean, it's a healthy staff. And, you know, as you mentioned, those guys do a great job. We had a chance to talk on Monday during the show about, you know, our reputation down in Detroit right now. And, you know, it's you know, majorly a major part of the job those guys have done, Rich and Doug have done. When I walk into the rink down there this weekend, and you know, there's just a buzz, you know, and part of it is the players we have committed. You know, the players today are so connected, so they all know who's committed where, and their buddies, and they Facebook and all those things. And so when you walk in, and you know, a couple of your players are the best guys in the league, kids are excited about that. They want to play with other good players and guys they like, and you know, and the coaches and the advisors, all those things are the same way. And you know, our reputation down Detroit and all over is very strong, but you know, numerous guys grab me and just say, hey, you know, you guys are doing a great job. Everybody's talking about Lake State down there. And so a real kudos to Rich and to Doug for the job they're doing on the road.
You know, we've got a number of people, and Rich and I talked about on the hockey show on Monday too. Some of the guys who are coming in here for next year even are going to have a major impact on this program. We've got a young guy like Luke Morgan, who's a very good offensive player. You got Colin Sackelman, who's a big, strong, tough guy defenseman, but very mobile, who can do some things for you. And you've got Christopher Zbindulis, who's out playing in New Jersey, who looks like he's going to be an offensive defenseman. These are good recruits. And, you know, it bodes well for the future as people move in and out here. This will become a much different team.
Well, we hope so. I mean, we're not doing our job if we're not identifying and recruiting, you know, talented hockey players and talented student athletes who fit in, you know, off the ice as well. And I think we've got a great culture. You know, that goes to our senior leadership this year. I think Austin McKay and his crew have done a tremendous job of developing a culture in that locker room that's very healthy, very positive. I'm not sure it was there over the last few years, just in terms of the way the team interacted together. So, you know, those guys have done a really good job of flipping that culture around. And you know, I don't care who we have, we're always going to try to recruit better, no matter how good, you know, whoever it is, Kevin Churchman, you know, whoever it is. Our job is to go get better hockey players. That's part of what you're trying to build and to do. And you know, and it's no different, I think, when you get to the real world, whether it's in hockey or the business world. You know, you've got to be accountable, you've got to continue to grow and develop as a player, as a student athlete. So yeah, I mean, I challenge those guys to, you know, we want better players. We always want better players. If we're going to build what we want to build, then you know, we've got to push ourselves and challenge ourselves and push the existing players. So we're always trying to upgrade and get better. And you know, within that, there's certainly some pieces. Sometimes you are looking for maybe more of a fourth line guy than a top six guy, and you know, so that changes based on what your needs are. But you know, we want to go out, guys, get skilled guys who can skate and play, and you know, play with pace and make decisions at a high tempo. So yeah, we're excited about the class. We think it's a good group coming in. You know, on paper we don't lose a lot. We just talked about the numbers. We don't have a lot of upperclassmen, and so there's not a lot of turnover that way. And you know, there's some good pieces in here as well. So we're really excited about what we're building and the direction we're headed.
Yeah, you know, you look at this lineup, and we always talk about it pregame, every game, how many freshmen and sophomores, 15 usually we've got in the lineup. But the last couple of games, we had 10 freshmen in there. And I know they're into the second half of their first year, and they are acclimating. They're getting used to playing at the D1 level, but they're still first-year players. And you like to talk a lot of times about how many games a college hockey player has played, putting an emphasis on experience. And we still don't have a lot of experience there. They're going to be really good players. There's no doubt Mitch Holtz is going to score a lot of goals as a college hockey player. But right now he's trying to acclimate to the game at this level. He's doing a good job, but it's tough. It's not easy when you're going up against Teddy Bluger in the faceoff circle.
Yeah, it really isn't. And I, you know, I think if you look at the Red Wings, probably part of the reason why Mike Babcock decided to, well, maybe the paycheck as well, but part of the reason I think he felt it was time to move on is because the Red Wings weren't in a position, because of their experience. You know, they had some of the aging experience in Datsyuk and Zetterberg, but the young guys, he talked all the time. He doesn't want to develop players. He wants to win championships. And it's tough to do no matter what level you're at with young guys, you know, pro guys. You know, whether you're a first year pro, or you know, a 25 year old or a 20 year old, it still doesn't matter that you don't, you know, if you only have 50 games in your belt or 25 games in your belt, there's a ton of experience you don't have when you're playing against a guy who's played 300 pro games, or in our case 100 college games. So you know, age is certainly a piece of it, and you know that, you know, I know our guys are not necessarily young guys beyond Owen Hedrick, but the experience at any level is just significant. And I think you'll see a huge difference over the next year or two when, you know, some of these guys that have played in these critical situations, now that they've got 50, 60, 80 games under their belt, they look like much different players. So, you know, they're gaining valuable experience. And again, you know, we're positioned well moving forward, and you know, we'll be fine. You know, we want to win Friday night and today and tomorrow. And, you know, we're not looking forward or looking past anything. But there's also, you know, as much as there's the immediate needs and today's results, there's also a bigger picture that you have to kind of prepare for both sides of it.
You know, you look at this team too, and we talk all the time about the inability to score goals. We're at like 1.82 goals per game. That's not going to win a lot of games. You can get some ties in there. We've had 1-1 ties, 2-2 ties. We've won some games 2-1. You really have to be good defensively if you're not going to score goals. How much do you sit down with the assistant coaches and anybody else who might be able to have some valid input and talk about, do we need to maybe make some changes? Do we need to tweak our front lines? And I'm not saying that our front lines don't play well. I think they do a pretty good job, but we don't score a lot of goals. Is there a way to mix some people in there who might be a little different on a line that would spark some offense?
Yeah, how do you create offense? Yeah. I mean, yeah, you talk about it, you know, it's a daily occurrence, and, you know, every morning we have a lineup discussion. You know, D pairings, line combinations, you know, we do. And as you mentioned, you know, we've tried to be careful because we have been so good defensively, and because, you know, our youth, last year we didn't score much. And I don't think in 1 year you're going to turn over, you know, unless you do find a Dylan Larkin or something like that, you know, that's significant. So I guess our main focus is making sure we continue to be great defensively, which we've been beyond, you know, three games for the last two or three months. So there's some things we like about our line combinations that allow us to match up and make sure we're great defensively. We did try to tweak it going into Friday night, and you know, that experiment went poorly with the final result and the goals that were given up. So, yeah, but it's a daily discussion. You know, Jake Cann's out now, so there's an opportunity for somebody to get back in and get a chance there, you know, but you tweak, you look at it, you work in practice for a day or two. That's why the bye week's a little bit nice too. You get a little bit more time to evaluate some guys and put some guys in some positions to see how they respond. You know, CJ Hayes, you know, we moved him around a little bit, Bryce Schmidt a little bit, and, you know, those guys responded. So, you know, tweaks happen and they'll continue to happen. But again, we've got to be great defensively. So we got to make sure that our lineup gives us a great chance to really limit the other team.
Yeah, tough assignment this weekend going to Michigan Tech. It is Winter Carnival. We want to remind our listeners that the Friday night game starts at 8. We'll be on the air at 7:35 with our pregame show. That'll be on Yes FM. And then on Saturday, we come right back with a 5 p.m. start. Is that a good thing, or does that make it tougher for the road team?
Well, I think it's probably you know, a challenge for the road team, especially with that, you know, the non-traditional 8 o'clock start. You know, we can only travel per league policy with a 22-man eligible playing list. So we'll travel probably just to 22 guys for space on the bus and everything like that. But we're Michigan Tech. I mean, I like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Mel, Coach Pearson, is able to add two or three new fresh sets of legs in. He's big on doing that. They lost a player at Christmas, and so it limits them a little bit. And I know Tyler Hannon's coming off of injury, so it might be a little bit limited based on their bodies. But yeah, I think, you know, they get a chance to sub some guys in or some more guys in. They have a chance to pick through their whole roster, and it's probably a little bit of an advantage for them that way.
Okay, well, we're out of time as usual. This 20-minute program flies by on Wednesday morning. Damon, good luck this weekend. Thanks for doing this again this morning, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks so much, Bill, and hopefully everybody has a great Wednesday morning and day.
All righty. Damon Whitten joining us here. Bill Crawford for Damon saying so long till next Wednesday morning on Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block, RP Sports Shop, and Art Van Furniture. Join us every Wednesday morning at 8:30 for more Laker Talk, exclusively on ESPN 1400, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.